urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Anne McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It is April 28th, 2025, a beautiful sunny day here in Philadelphia, and we are so grateful to be live with you today. What a program I have lined up for you. But as usual, I would like us all to begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we offer the soul of Pope Benedict, may he rest in peace, may he be in your loving arms. We pray that his legacy of mercy and compassion for the poor would extend to many people throughout the earth. We pray for the Holy Spirit to descend upon the upcoming conclave and the selection of our upcoming Pope. We pray, Lord Jesus, that it is your holy will, whoever is selected, that this person would lead our church during these difficult times. And we pray for your Holy Spirit and in the intervention of our Blessed Lady to cover all these bishops as they vote. And Jesus, we thank you and praise you in advance for that. We also thank you and praise you, and we pray for all those in need of healing today who are listening, who think they're just tuned in by accident. We pray for you, for your special intentions, and we pray that this apostolate will continue to thrive and touch the lives of people throughout all the ends of the earth. Lord Jesus, we offer the program to you and your Immaculate Heart of Mary and your Sacred Heart of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, many of us know people who traveled to Rome for the canonization of Carlo Acutis. And I remember saying to my husband, oh my goodness, they paid a fortune to travel to see the canonization of this amazing saint. And then, of course, the Holy Father, what a time. I would love to hear some witnesses coming up in the future when people return as to what their experience was at the funeral of the Holy Father, their experience of meeting people from all over the world, and how his funeral and his life touched their lives in a very special way. So, Carlo, you're going to have to wait a little bit, but I'm sure the Holy Father is hugging him in heaven, saying, not your time yet, but when your time comes, it's going to be an explosion of faith for our youth throughout the world. So we thank you and praise you for how things change, and it's so obvious. We never know what is in mind for the Lord. We never know his will. We have to anticipate to live in grace. And as we have shared in so many programs, grace is the seed of heaven. Grace is the seed of heaven. And we need always to be aware of our need to embrace that grace. I love this quote from Carlo Acutis. It's all over social media. If you follow anything with Carlo Acutis, and it's very easy to do, I love this quote. I think it's one of my favorite. All people are born as originals, but many die as photocopies. Isn't that great? All people are born as originals, but many die as photocopies. Now, it is my belief in that of Kathleen McCarthy and all the broadcasters and all involved with In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, that this radio network, we're not interested in photocopies. We're interested in seeing how God is revealing himself in your life and in your family. You are an original. No matter how horrible you feel today, no matter how lost or lonely, you are an original. You are not a photocopy. So what are we going to do about it? What are we going to talk about today? So do we see God as far away? Do you see God as far away? Well, and when was the last time you paused to really think about your life? And was it a week ago? Was it last month? Was it last year? Or has it been a few years? Now, there are four words that really embody the challenge of our Christian life, my friends. And we find them in the fifth line of the powerful prayer of the Our Father. And by the way, the name of this program, Thy Will Be Done. Now, these four words present the greatest challenge of Christianity, don't they? Now, how do you react to these four words when you hear them? As you hear them now, if you're driving, you're sitting in traffic, you're in your kitchen, you're in your living room. What do you think they mean? And how do these words make you feel? And when you first hear them, how did your body react? Thy will be done. Now, it all depends, my friends, on our image of God. If we see God as far away, as many of us have or still do, trying to control everything and everyone, we probably react to these words as an infringement on our freedom, right? Especially young people, especially teens. What? Surrender my life to God? There goes my freedom. If we see God as a loving Father who wants good things for us even more than we want them for ourselves, who has always had our best interests at heart, then we're going to react differently, aren't we? For this reason, it's important that we constantly reflect upon our image of God, constantly. Now, how we see God has an enormous impact on our lives. Do we see him as far away? Do we see him as God the Father in relationship with us, as a loving Father who cares about us? Our image of God is the lens through which we see ourselves and the world. Our spirituality, my friends, is particularly impacted by the way we see God. Now, listen to this carefully. It is good to explore the assumptions we have about God from time to time. And that's what we're going to do today. But not incessantly. Don't be scrupulous about it, because that could become really harmful. But we're asked to step back from time to time and ask, what is my image of God? I want you to answer that right now. What is my image of God? How do I see him? And what are his attributes? Now, for you, and for me especially, it's really helpful to write these things down. Our image of God is so deeply ingrained in us, it's easy for life in the world to corrupt that image, isn't it? If you turn on the TV, if you're on to social media, if you're going through reels, our whole spirituality and our viewpoint of God is corrupted. It can be corrupted. Now, a false or distorted view of God tends to distort our relationships, which, by the way, are the foundation of life in this world. Now, when Jesus invites us to call God the Father, he's inviting us to a very intimate relationship with God, telling us that the God of the universe is concerned with our needs. That's right. If you're listening, your needs of each and every one of us. Now, Jesus is constantly presenting a beautiful image of God. Now, it's only in the context of this true image that we can fully embrace Thy will be done. I'm going to say it again. Thy will be done. Now, when was the last time? I want you to answer this out loud. When was the last time you knew exactly what God was inviting you to do in a situation, but you did the opposite? Every day I go through this challenge. Now, we all fall into this rejection of Thy will be done. We become proud and arrogant and willful, and with our actions we scream, my will be done. My will be done. But does it make us happy? Does it make you happy when you do your will and not God's will? Now, we know, as you know, We live in a culture that says the meaning of life is to get what we want, and that what we get, what we want, then we'll be happy. Oh, the bigger boat, the bigger house, the bigger car, more money in the bank, our 401k blossoming, which it isn't these days. We yearn for happiness because we're created for it. So we fall for the lie, don't we? We race off into the world to get what we want. Sooner or later, we all realize that getting what we want doesn't make us happy. Now, every day we make decisions of dozens of decisions, and some of them large and small, right? Especially if you have a family or you're in a business. God wants to help you today to become a phenomenal decision maker. And that's what we're really working on in this broadcast. He wants you to be a phenomenal, spirit-filled decision maker. Now, he wants to set you on fire with passion and purpose. And he wants your yes to be passionate and enthusiastic. Yes, 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 Lord. And your no to be a firm no to your will. It's so easy, and we've talked about this for months and months, to become lukewarm. But God doesn't want that for you, my friends. The thing about being lukewarm is nobody ever thinks they are. Nobody really admits, hey, I think I'm a lukewarm Christian. I think I'm lukewarm. You certainly can't exist as a lukewarm employee in a company, can you? I've had people share all sorts of personal failings with me throughout my ministry of, I would say, 40 plus years. They will tell me they have a problem with pornography, gluttony, overeating, jealousy, judging others, gossip. But I've never had anyone say to me, I'm not a generous person. And I've never had anyone say to me, I've become lukewarm, like those people God talks about vomiting out of his mouth. Now, the other thing about being lukewarm is that it's so easy to blend in, isn't it? It's so easy to blend in. The lukewarm typically go to Mass every Sunday. They want to sit in the same pew. They park in the same spot. They give money in their parish and other charities. But from the outside, they appear to be committed Christians. But the lukewarm also tend to choose convenience and comfort over what is right and just. They rarely talk about God or their spiritual journey. Jesus is part of their lives, but he is not at the center of their lives. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this, because this could be you. They're not willing to make sacrifices to grow spiritually. And that's, I'm asking you to stretch yourself today. I'm asking you, post-divine mercy, to stretch yourself to grow spiritually. We never think, the lukewarm never think about heaven once in a while, but are obsessed with the things of this world. Now, they structure their lives so they never really have to trust God too much, right? Never have to trust God too much. Now, the lukewarm watch television shows they know don't make them the best version of themselves, and they swear, they drink, they gamble far too much from time to time. Now, these are just a few characteristics of the lukewarm. Now, does this relate to you? But I think you'll agree that this one little picture that I'm painting paints a pretty clear picture. Now, how do I know these things? God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants to set us on fire today. Not tomorrow, not next week, this very minute, if you're listening. He wants to set us on fire. And when we're on fire, we have great charity and clarity and become excellent decision makers. Now, when did you last ask God to advise you about a big decision you had to make? Now, maybe you wanted to get out of your apartment. You wanted a house. Maybe you wanted to adopt a child. Maybe you wanted to put a fence up around your lawn. I don't know. It's a big decision. Or maybe you wanted to leave your job and go to something else. Decisions, my friends, are the foundation of life. You can't hide from them. And with each decision, we choose order or chaos, clarity or confusion, life or death, with God or against God. Now, we've already discussed the insanity of choosing against God in so many radio broadcasts throughout the last few months. But it's been going on for a long time, and it's time to get off the fence. Every decision we make leads us either towards the peace and happiness we yearn for or away from it. Now, our decisions are the foundation of our lives. Now, do you remember I shared maybe before Christmas the writings of St. Augustine in his writings called Confessions, which I highly recommend you read? I'm quoting him. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, Lord. End of quote. Now, many saints and many sinners have found these words so profoundly true, right? Now, God invites us into a deep life of prayer so that he can fill us with a peace that nobody can take from us. You know the song, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, and the prayer of St. Francis? We all need something that nobody can take from us. We all need something. God wants to fill you today, Mary, Susie, Joey, Jane, all those who are listening. He wants to fill you with peace that cannot be shaken or taken away from you, a peace that's untouchable. Now, surrender to the four words we talked about and the name of this broadcast, Thy Will Be Done, which is from the Our Father. Invite God into the center of your decision-making process. Can you seek his will in all things? I want you to seek his will in all things. You don't look for signs and wonders. You simply ask, God, what is your will for me? Or what is your will for this decision? This is the road that leads to the happiness we desire, friends. It's a happiness that's not fleeting or short-lived. It's a lasting happiness in this changing world, which is crazy. The idea that we can find happiness outside of God's will is one of the most absurd ideas in history. And yet, all of us, we each employ this concept in some way, great or small, every day in our lives, don't we? We do it every day. I can't think of anyone that wouldn't fall victim to this. I can't think of anyone that would not fall victim to this. So it's very, very important for us to stand our grounds, to know what God has chosen for us and what he wants of you with his will today, not tomorrow, today. Now, St. Augustine also prayed, and again, I highly recommend if you can read or look up Confessions, quote, Lord, make me chaste, but not just yet. Now, let's replace that word chase. Lord, make me rich or make me humble or make me patient, but not just yet. Or make me stop eating bad things, but not just yet. Isn't that a great line? But not just yet. We all use the not just yet. St. Augustine loved loving women. Did you know that? And he wasn't ready to give that up. He was really resisting a better version of himself all the time, God's will. And as it turned out, he was resistant to becoming one of the greatest saints in the history of Christianity. Isn't that amazing? He was resistant. Oh, yeah, I want your will, God, but not yet. Replace that with, I want your will for my family. I want to go to Mass every day, or go to confession, but not yet, Lord. Read the Confessions of St. Augustine. Very powerful. Now, I love a special writing of Matthew Kelly called Are You a Pilgrim or Tourist? And I did a lot of research for this program, so please stay with me. We're going to go through a lot of different things. Tourists want everything to go exactly as they've planned and imagined it. Now, Tourists would be, I'm going to go to Rome, and I'm going to see the Colosseum, and I'm going to see all the things that I want, and I'm going to have it perfectly planned. I'm going to get off the bus, and my luggage will be taken, and I'm going to eat at certain restaurants. That's a tourist. We rush around from one place to another, making sure that we cram everything in, right? I'm sure some of us have been on tours, I have, where all this is crammed in and everything's planned. And there really is nothing wrong with that. It's just understanding the difference between a pilgrim or a tourist. Now, you're constantly buying souvenirs, knickknacks, many of which we'll look at when you get home and wonder, what was I thinking? Tourists get upset if there are delays, right? They demand prompt attention and service to their every need and desire. They focus on themselves. They focus on themselves, often shoving past others to get what they want to do or go. Tourists go sightseeing. Tourists count the cost. Now, we're going to talk about pilgrims, and this is where God the Father wants us to be pilgrims. Pilgrims are really different, my friends. They look for signs. If a flight gets delayed, I know this is me in many ways. If a flight gets delayed or canceled, we ask, what's God trying to say to me? Pilgrims are not concerned with seeing and doing everything, just the things they feel called to see and do. And they're not obsessed with shopping. They're aware of the needs of others. And pilgrims go looking for meaning. And pilgrims count their blessings. Now, the reality, my friends, is we are all pilgrims. This planet we call Earth is not our home. We are just passing through. Now, we build homes and we establish ourselves here on Earth in ways that ignore that we are really just we're only here for a short time. It's a dangerous pastime to live as if you were never going to die. But consciously or subconsciously, we all fall into this trap to various degrees, don't we? Now, we're only here on Earth for the blink of an eye. This is not our home. And that's why the happiness that God wants and created us for is very different from the fleeting happiness and momentary pleasures of this world. Now, the happiness God wants for us, my friends, in this life is a rare kind of happiness that's really not dependent on situations or circumstances. It's easy to be happy when everything's going well, isn't it? This is one I suffer for all the time, every day. When everything's going well, my prayer life is flying. It's easier for me to pray. I'm happier. When things go south, wow, I'm hanging on by a shoestring, begging God to help me. And I reach out for someone to pray for my special needs because I am so weak. So it's easy to be happy when everything's going well. But Christian joy allows us to be happy like St. Paul was when he was in prison. Did you know that? Think about that. St. Paul was in prison, and he was happy? Now, do you ever think about heaven? Now, I want you to answer this in the car, on the train, wherever you're listening. Do you really, honestly ever think about heaven? Now, it seems to me we don't talk about heaven anywhere near as much as we should, right? When Rudyard Kipling was very seriously ill, a nurse asked him, is there anything you want? And he replied, I want God. We all do. We may not be aware of it, but we really, really want God. And behind every desire for a new car, a new house, a new position or accomplishment, new clothes, jewelry, plastic surgery to lift our fallen faces, adventures, travel, food, comfort, really, it's our desire for God. We're always hungry for something more complete. And God is that completeness, my friends, that we yearn for from the depths of our soul. Now, we're just passing through. And it's helpful to remind ourselves of that from time to time. We're just passing through. So if we realize the context of eternity, we're only here for the blink of an eye, right? A blink of an eye. In the context of eternity, we're only here for the blink of an eye. I know that's a shocker for some of us. Realizing this changes our priorities. At the same time, we're here for a reason. Now, here's the big aha moment. We're here on earth, alive, breathing for a reason. You're here for a reason. God has a mission for you. I can't begin to tell you how many people do not believe that God has a mission for them. I don't care if you clean carpets, you clean toilets, you're an executive, you're a CEO, a lawyer, a doctor, a homeschooling mom. It doesn't matter. God has a mission for you. Now, life is a pilgrimage. It's a sacred journey. Now, very often, people make pilgrimages with special intentions in mind. Now, some ask God, I know if you go to Lourdes or Fatima, some ask God for a favor, perhaps to heal a loved one who's sick. Others make pilgrimages in thanksgiving for a blessing they've already received from God. And there's always couples on your trips who are celebrating a wedding anniversary, right? We see that if you watch the news, somebody's celebrating a wedding anniversary. Life is a pilgrimage, but sometimes you need a pilgrimage to discover life. Now, we're journeying in this life toward the sacred city, toward the heart of God, which is heaven. Heaven. Nobody makes the journey alone. We all need companions. Now, the best friends in the world encourage us. They don't discourage us. They encourage us and challenge us to become the best version of ourselves. And by doing so, they help us to get to heaven. I shared this with you, maybe a month ago. I had a discussion with my own daughter. My role as a mother is to make sure my children and my grandchildren and my husband get to heaven. She had never heard that, and I know I had said that throughout her life. My role, I don't care if you're married. I still have a role to be a role model for my family to get to heaven. Now, let us pray for the grace to be pilgrims today and not just tourists. Let us pray for the grace to be the kind of friend who helps others in the great pilgrimage of life. Now, if you're married, it's our responsibility and our grace to make sure our spouse gets to heaven. It's really very important. Yes, it's very important for us. We all want our families to greet us when we are at the heavenly gates. We want our family. God wants our families. Remember that, my friends. Remember that. After the break, I'm going to get into some heavy-duty stuff, and I want you to stay with me because I hope that we turn the page in your spiritual life and that God the Father touches you in a powerful way, enabling us to all hear his divine word as to what he wants for us in our journey, in our choosing him to be what he has called us to be. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? We have all a great need to belong, to be loved and accepted. This is the role of this apostolate. So after the break, we'll come back and we have so much more to share. Stay tuned.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. And I'm so happy to be with you today. But we get your pen and paper out. We have some big news for you. Look, next Sunday, May 4th, from 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. at Malvern Retreat House, which is near Villanova. If you've never been out to Malvern, PA, is the annual In His Sign Catholic Radio Network annual Wake Up America Dinner. That's right. It's next Sunday. So do not wait till Friday to make a reservation, because Kathleen needs to get the number of people who will be coming and the food needs to be ordered. So please do it immediately if you can today. Now, what will be happening? Kathleen received in prayer the title and the theme for the dinner, Jubilee Year, Hope, Healing, and Freedom. She will personally be praying for everyone present in a very special way at this dinner. She never does this. This is unique for her to receive this word. So, I highly recommend anyone who could come, please do. Now, what's happening? There will be a keynote address by Kathleen McCarthy, which is so important for us to hear. You'll meet all the radio broadcasters. Yeah, you'll meet the people behind the voice and prayerfully those who have inspired you in some way. There will be an amazing silent auction. Wow, the number of gifts, you will love it. If you have $10 or $1,000, there are all types of gifts for those who want to participate in silent auction. And guess what? Once you walk in the door, you're given a little ticket. And many prizes, they're really high-end prizes, are really exhibited on a table. So at the end of the dinner, the numbers will be drawn, and you could possibly win an amazing gift, which, again, they're high-end prizes. So I ask you, please, please register immediately at In His Sign Catholic Radio. You can call, I believe, with a credit card, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or mail. If you're going to mail, you have to do it quickly. Check or money order, no cash. In His Sign Catholic Radio, 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, Pennsylvania, 19010. That's 136 Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T Avenue, Rosemont, PA, 19010. You cannot show up at the door because, first of all, it's just against fire code. Secondly, the meals have to be ordered in advance. And third, it's really quite rude to just show up at a special fundraising dinner like this. And those of you who know about this radio network know that there are only two fundraisers a year, and that's the annual golf outing and this Wake Up America dinner. So it's very, very important. If you can't come, maybe you can sponsor someone. Now, it's $55 a person, $100 a couple, or $400 for a table of eight. Now, you say, that's a lot of money. Well, Kathleen has to pay Malvern Retreat House for all the meals and the special setups. And then very little, by the way, comes back to this radio network. So I highly encourage you. It's a tax write-off. You're saying, I don't need a tax write-off. Yeah, we all need some kind of tax write-off. So it's a tax write-off. If you want to be a sponsor, there are really big numbers here. At $5,000, you're a red sponsor. At $2,500, you're a luncheon sponsor. And at $1,000, you're a raffle gift sponsor. So if you're listening and you own a company, again, this is a write-off. So you could be a big-time sponsor. So I highly encourage anyone who would like to become a sponsor to do so. But again, don't wait. You can't do that with this because it's a specialized dinner and fundraising event. And you do not want to miss the grounds of Malvern with the St. John Paul II cross that was at the seminary is now on the grounds in the field at Malvern Retreat House and the Carlo Acuta Shrine. You don't want to miss this. There are so many things to do before or after the event. Please, please don't miss this amazing afternoon. That's next Sunday, May 4th, 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. You cannot show up at the door. You need to either call Maureen, 610-527-2906, or do a mail-in as we just discussed. I can't wait for this. I can't wait to meet all of you. God has been good, and the Lord has so much in store for this apostolate. Get ready. You want to be on the offense of seeing what God has in store. You want to hear what God has in store. Kathleen prophetically will share the power of this apostolate and what has been going on. So do not miss it. Spread the word. Spread the word. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever heard of a book called The Soul of the Apostolate? I cannot read French, but it's from Dom Jean-Baptiste Chateau, O-C-S-O. It's an old, old book that it's The Soul of the Apostolate. I read and used many times in my retreat work over the years. And as I was praying about this radio program, my eyes came upon this book and specifically something that I had folded, the page I had folded. And I know someone needs to hear this today. So my friends, buckle your seatbelts because this is intended for someone who is listening. Quote, John indeed did no sign without working a single miracle. John the Baptist attracted great crowds. St. John Vianney had a voice so weak that it could not reach most of those in the crowd that surged around him. Did you know that? But if people could hardly hear him, they saw him. They saw a living monstrance. They saw a living monstrance of God. And the mere sight of him overwhelmed those who were there and converted them. That's St. John Vianney, very weak voice. A lawyer who had just returned from Ars, someone asked him, what is it that impressed you? And he said, and I'm quoting, I've seen God in a man. I've seen God in a man. Now, the best way to get men to listen to you is to hold out to them the secret of carrying the cross. Well, which is the lot of every mortal human being with joy. The secret lies in the Eucharist and in the hope of heaven. I didn't know St. John Vianney had a very weak voice. Now, I'm back to the book, The Soul of the Apostolate, which is very old. Now, I'm going to go through some categories for you if you're listening. Are you hardened in sin? That's mortal sin. Are you stubborn? Are you persistent in sin, either not out of ignorance or because of a maliciously warped conscience? Do you pray? Do you have deliberate refusal to have any recourse to God? Do you ignore that? Are you a surface Christian? That in those days it was called a surface Christian, but we know this as a lukewarm Christian. Now, what is mortal sin? It's considered in this book of the Soul of the Apostle as a trifling evil, easily forgiven. The soul easily gives way and commits mortal sin at every possible occasion or temptation. Confession without contrition. Prayer in your life, if you are a surface Christian, is mechanical. You're either inattentive or you're always dictated by temporal interest. So such souls enter into themselves very rarely and superficially. Now, are you do you have mediocrity, piety? What in the world is that? Do you have a weak resistance? You hardly ever avoid occasions, but seriously regret having sinned. And you make good confessions, but you're not really repenting. And in venial sin, you complete acceptance of the sin, which is considered insignificant to you. Tepidity of the will, that's what it is, does nothing whatever to prevent venial sin or to get rid of it or to find out when it was concealed. Is this you? From time to time, you pray well and you momentarily have fits of fervor of prayer. Do you have intermittent piety? Lord, loyal resistance. You habitually avoid occasion. You have deep regrets. You have deep penance to make reparation, but you're sometimes deliberate. You put up a weak fight. Your sorrow is only superficial. It's the moment. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. You make a particular examination of conscience, but without any method or coherence. I highly recommend, if you can, I don't even know if it's printed anymore. It was printed by Tan Books, and I guess I've had it for 20-some years in my little library of books that I use for retreats, and I highly recommend it, if you can get it, where this wonderful priest quotes the Lord and says that the Lord wants us to be part of the shock troops. Yeah, that's right, shock. So I want you to read about this. The liturgy gives strong support in any way we can, reminding us that love is not acting in isolation. That's right. Love is not acting in isolation. And that's why it's so important for us to go to Mass. So in this book, The Soul of the Apostolate, you want us to be free? You do not want activities to imprison you beneath your weight. You want to be the master and not the slave of activity. So to that end, you offer your grace on condition that you are faithful in the condition of your heart. Again, this book runs very deep, and if you're looking for another level of spirituality, I highly recommend it. By Tan Books, I don't even know if this is still in existence. And the back cover says, "And now, my dear son, if you desire that God should bless your apostolate and make it fruitful, undertake everything for his glory. Saturate yourself and your devoted fellow workers with the spirit of Jesus Christ, animating yourself and them with an intense interior life. And to this end, I can offer you no better guide than the Soul of the Apostolate." That was from Pope St. Pius X. Again, found this book. I haven't picked it up in years as I was preparing and praying about this program, and I felt that someone needed to hear it. So where are we? We are made for mission, aren't we? We're made for mission, and a lot of the dissatisfaction we experience in this lifetime comes from forgetting that we are on this earth for a mission. God didn't create us to be served. He created us to serve. Now, if you use something for a purpose it was not designed for, things usually start to go south, don't they? Have you ever tried to use a snowblower as a vacuum cleaner? That's stupid, isn't it? Have you ever tried to use a fire extinguisher to take a shower? Right, that's really stupid, isn't it? Now, using things for something other than what they were designed for usually ends up pretty ugly. But we do it every day with ourselves all the time. God designed human beings for specific purposes and a specific mission. When we stray from them, things tend to go wrong and we start to feel dissatisfied at best and miserable at worst. You were made, you who are listening, you were made for a mission. You will never have lasting happiness until you realize this and act on it, no matter how ugly you think your soul is today, no matter how far away you feel from God, you were made for a mission. Every time God can use you more powerfully for his great plans, God wants you to serve powerfully, not timidly. He wants you, my dear listener, to become so involved that you can serve more powerfully than ever before. And he wants you, our dear listener, to become your best self because he simply delights in you. Yes, he delights in you. One of the essential lessons in our quest today is that we find happiness not by seeking gratification for ourselves, but by serving others. By serving others. You were made for mission. You were created to serve powerfully. And you'll never be truly happy until you find a way to lay down your life for others that engages your talents and abilities. Now, place your talents and enthusiasm at the service of life. Can you do this? This was the message, by the way, of St. John Paul the Great, as he traveled around the world speaking to people of all ages. Service is central to the life of a Christian. We're not the masters, my friends. We are the servants. What are your talents? Name them. Call them out. Maybe you can write. Maybe you can clean. Maybe you can cook. Maybe you can crochet. What are you really good at? I want you to name it right now. Now, how is God calling you to make the world and the church a better place through your talent? You might think, I don't really have any talent. I want you to pray about it. Maybe it's intercessory prayer. How do you discover what God is calling you to do? How do you discover that? God speaks to you through your talents. He speaks to you in many other ways, but you have a unique set of talents and abilities that are God-given. Now, our God is a God of purpose. He does things with purpose, for purpose and one purpose. It stands to reason that he gave you your particular mix of talents and abilities because they match up with the mission he has in mind for you. Now, you cannot focus on all of your talents at one time, and you cannot fully exercise even one of your talents in this lifetime. So, it's really important that we turn to God from time to time and say, oh, God, which talent do you want me to focus on at this time in my life? You may be in your 20s, your 50s, your 80s. What do you want me to focus on at this time in my life? Now, another question is, I would like to do what you do. How do I get started? I love the story of Kathleen McCarthy. She never intended to be the president of this radio network. She never intended. Mother of 12, married children, you know, all the grandchildren, great-grandchildren. She never intended to be the president of this network, but she said yes. Dom Lettieri asked her. She said no. And then she prayed, and she asked God for his will, and God showed her. Wow, did he ever show her. And look what has happened. She is the president of a worldwide network, a worldwide network, Philadelphia is one of the major radio markets in this country. And to have a Catholic presence like this one on for I think it's close to 50 years, not going off the air, not begging for money. None of the broadcasters make any money. All volunteers. There's one person that works as an administrator who has to run the apostolate 24/7. My friends, this is nothing less than a miracle. But you know what? God had a mission for Kathleen, didn't he? Kathleen's no different than you, Susie, Joey, Mike, Frank. He wants to use your talents. And you may say, you may not be a radio broadcaster, but maybe you share your witness of how the Lord spoke to your heart in adoration, or reading the Bible, or sharing witness to somebody that's down and out. There's nothing that we can't do if we ask. How many times I've heard, I would like to do what you do. How do I get started? I laugh. I'm like, I never intended to do this either. I never intended to be on radio. I've been on radio probably, I think my husband would say, 40 years in different capacities. Yes, 40 years, radio, television, video, and print. Yes, never intended this, but it was simply, yes. My major in college was journalism and mass communications. It was newspaper print, nothing to do with this. How God, you just say yes, he teaches you. He gives you all the tools and the people to teach you. So if you have any sense of God calling you to do something, I want you tonight to get a piece of paper. Open the sacred scriptures. Just pray quietly in your, as I call, the prayer closet. Just say, Jesus, what do you want of me? You may not hear a thing. Most of us don't. It may be a sense when you wake up tomorrow or this week. Just ask the question. Invite God into your life. You don't have to do all these amazing things, have amazing voices, amazing degrees, amazing background. He'll use you as you use. Now, here is a woman with every excuse I'm going to tell you under the sun not to be actively involved in ministry. But boy, she finds a way to make it happen. That's Kathleen. She was so busy being a mother, a grandmother. She preached in parishes. She wrote a little book, What the World Needs Now. She never intended to do this. What are your talents? What are you passionate about? Hey, if some of you are listening and you're passionate about sports, maybe you get involved in CYO or just praying with athletes or young people before they go in the field. Maybe that's all you're interested in. What are you really passionate about? And why do you think God gave you those talents? Now, maybe you're an extraordinary cook. That's certainly not my gift. As my family would say, it's not my gift. But I love praying with people. I love praying for people. I love the gift of intercessory prayer, and I love sharing my relationship with the Lord for anyone who asks. And I love watching God work. I love watching God work. So why can't you do that? Maybe you could go shopping for a neighbor who is disabled. Maybe they can't get to the store, and maybe that's your gift, that you could go grocery shopping and bring in fresh food and fruits for them because they can't get them. Maybe they get Meals on Wheels, which is such a blessing, but they need some fresh veggies from time to time, and you think, oh, they're taken care of. Well, maybe, this is planting a seed in your heart to do something. Why do you think God gave you these talents? Maybe you're crocheting a beautiful afghan or blanket or sweater or hat or gloves. Maybe crocheting is your gift. And why do you feel called to ministry? What in particular do you feel God is calling you to? You have to ask the question in order to get the answer. God's not going to slam it down on your head. Although he did with Kathleen McCarthy. He's not going to slam it down in your head. He may whisper. He may whisper to you. I have a friend. I'm not going to use her name. I'd have to ask permission. She's in ministry for most of her life, and And she, when she always had a question about, Lord, what do you want me to do? Wouldn't you know, a car would pull in front of her on a highway or a back road with a big bumper sticker with the answer. Or there would be a sign on the side of the road. Every time, I always love the stories how God answered her prayer through bumper stickers on cars or magnets or signs or billboards. She learned to expect that. I laugh when I think of that because it happened to me with her as we were praying one time, probably 15 years ago, about, well, Lord, what do you want in this situation? Next thing you know, we see this bumper sticker. One time I had to fly to Florida for my work with John F. Benkovic, and it was not a convenient time for flying. There were storms, and I was a nervous wreck. And it was for a meeting with her Women of Grace facilitators. And I remember taking a car to the site of the meeting, and there was a big sign said, place your hope in the Lord and fear not. I started laughing. The sign was huge. You could not miss it. I didn't need a bumper sticker. It was soon as I stepped in this limo type of vehicle where I saw the sign, and I knew God was talking to me through the sign, like, cut it out, Ann. I'm with you. I have it handled. So you see, I want you to please, please remember that you cannot be happy focused on yourself. Ask God to show you your mission. It's time to let your light shine. It's deep within you, my friends. It's deep. And when you reflect on the various people God has used throughout history, like we talked about St. John Vianney, to carry out his work, it can be quite overwhelming, right? He chooses the most unlikely people like us to carry out incredible work. We're unlikely. The one thing God needs from you and from me in order to launch us into mission is our availability. Our availability. And it's the only thing he needs from any of us. So make yourself available to God and incredible things will happen. Open your arms up today and say, I'm available, Lord. What is it that you want of me? What is it that you want of me? So praise and thank him for all that he has in store for you. Ask yourself, what are you gaining by resisting what he has for you? What are you gaining? And at the heart of the Christian experience is what our ancestors called conversion. Conversion, and this is what he wants of you. God is constantly inviting us to conversion. Conversion is the heart of a daily process. It's the heart. Now, Pope Benedict once gave insight saying, the human being does not trust God. Tempted by the serpent, he harbors the suspicion that in the end, God takes something away from his life, that God is a rival who curtails our freedom, and that we will be fully human only when we cast him aside. In brief, we mistakenly believe that only by casting God aside can we fully achieve our freedom. Now, it's time to put that lie to bed. It's time, my friends. Ask God, beg him to give you the wisdom, the grace, and humility to make yourself 100% available to him. So until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you, and know that in God's eyes, you're very special. And I hope to see all of you at the Wake Up America dinner next Sunday at Malvern Retreat House. So make sure you make your reservation now, because it is one powerful afternoon that you do not want to miss. So God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Be alert, stand firm, trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.